listening to KPMG's podcast series on topics you should be discussing with your head of tax. I'm Tony Castellanos, partner and U.S. tax practice leader for our industry sectors. On each episode, I'll interview one of KPMG's tax leaders for a specific industry to hear their perspectives about key industry developments and the associated tax implications affecting your decisions. We're glad to have you join us. Today, I'm joined by Monica Coakley, our healthcare tax industry leader, and Lori Robbins, our deputy tax industry leader for healthcare. Hello, Monica. Hello, Lori.
Hi, Tony.
Hi there.
Let's get right into it and tee up our discussion, talking about the most significant trends affecting healthcare today. So, Monica, why don't we start with the top three trends that you see in the industry today?
There's lots of forces that are driving transformation in the healthcare industry right now. If I had to highlight just three, it would be the continuing evolution of business models in healthcare, the growing attention that we have to health inequity, social determinants of health, and other concerns that fall under the larger umbrella of ESG, and lastly, the shift in how physician practices are being organized and operated.
That's a lot to unpack here in our conversation. Tell me a little bit more about the changing business models.
We have been in a pattern of unrelenting transformation and innovation within healthcare, which started with the Affordable Care Act back in 2010 and is still continuing today, with the current influences being not just healthcare policy and legislation, but a myriad of factors, including COVID, the economic environment, pressures to move to value-based care models and other cost containment pressures, and social awareness around issues like health inequity and access to care. To take a step back, healthcare has historically been a very siloed industry with subsegments that operate in pretty distinct spheres. Payers on one side of the field and healthcare providers on the other, and on the other axis, a divide between tax-exempt versus for-profit healthcare. Each of these segments effectively has its own specialized tax regime in the federal tax code. Health insurance companies are generally taxed under the insurance tax part of the code, unless they qualify as a tax-exempt HMO. Blue Cross, Blue Shield organizations are a unique creature that have their own tax code provisions. Tax-exempt organizations are in an entirely different class in how they report information and pay taxes on certain of their activities. And in healthcare, for-profit providers have specialized tax accounting considerations, particularly around patient receivables, which has recently been an evolving area of the tax law given the innovations in payment models over the last decade. One of the consequences of the business transformations that have been happening in healthcare has been a blending of these segments and a blurring of the lines between payer and provider, for-profit and tax-exempt. One clear example of this is the forceful movement of payers into the provider space with the acquisition of physician practice groups. United Health Group's Optum business is perhaps the largest network of physicians in this country. Another example of blurring lines is the movement by retail businesses into both the provider and the payer space. We also see transformations of tax-exempt healthcare organizations, which have been aggressively entering into a new generation of collaborations and joint ventures with other healthcare organizations, or even with less traditional partners like data and technology firms and collaborations involving private equity. To bring this all back to tax, quite simply, changing business models means changing tax issues. Today, the tax profile of healthcare organizations is constantly changing, which means more complex and more sophisticated tax compliance and tax planning needs. Today's tax departments need to have deep expertise in a much broader cross-section of the tax code and an understanding of the complexity when different segments of the healthcare industry start coming together in these new ways.
And Tony, if I could just jump in here quickly, I wanted to mention one last aspect of changing business models. In addition to what Monica just mentioned, another significant aspect in healthcare is the movement of how risk is being shifted and shared. In particular, there are substantial tax issues that have to be front and center when a for-profit provider is taking on risk, because inadvertently becoming what's known as a covered health insurance provider, as that's defined in the tax law, can come with a staggering tax cost due to a shift in how compensation deductions may be affected. There are also tax implications when examining how much and what types of risk an entity is incurring in its business, so much so that it can have a profound effect on the entity's tax classification and its tax reporting obligations.
Let's talk about this a little bit, because the thing that stands out for me here is the intersection of different business models, right? As you mentioned, getting into the healthcare field, you start to have companies that are not accustomed to, not prepared for, haven't dealt with the regulations in these areas, having to deal with them for the first time. That there's a convergence of these industries creating new business models and consolidating to some degree the industry across new and other industries that are not traditional. Is that a fair way to look at this?
Absolutely. A good example of this, you mentioned data and technology firms intersecting now with healthcare providers and payers. And in the technology field, an area that tax folks typically have a focus on includes research and development costs, R&D tax credits, and expensing. And that's historically not something that has been a big focus area for healthcare, but now, today, every healthcare provider has significant technology expense, significant technology innovation, and R&D tax credits and the treatment of R&D expenses is much more of a hot topic, and tax professionals within the healthcare industry have needed to develop an expertise in an area that earlier in their careers just wasn't as relevant.
Mm-hmm. That's another dimension altogether. Really interesting. So let's move on to another area, which I think intersects with what you were just describing in terms of business models and sort of the big picture around healthcare, and that's the evolution around ESG. How do you see ESG affecting the healthcare industry and healthcare professionals, and include your thoughts on tax transparency and tax responsibility in that?
So, Tony, I think the tone of the conversation surrounding ESG in the healthcare context is really going to depend on whether we're talking about a taxable or a tax-exempt healthcare organization. For taxable organizations, discussions surrounding ESG and tax tend to focus on transparency with respect to the organization's tax payments and its commitment to an ethical tax practice of transparent reporting and paying its so-called fair share of tax, if you will. But for tax-exempt organizations, these considerations are a bit different. The considerations I just mentioned are still relevant, but there are additional issues that would be included in such a conversation about the interplay between tax and ESG. A significant issue is the transparency and interactions between taxable and tax-exempt legal entities. For example, providing proper transfer pricing and controls between for-profit entities and tax-exempt entities within the same overall organization is part of that good governance that's an essential component of that conversation. Conducting due diligence on a recurring basis to identify and report unrelated business activities properly is another one. One last example I'll leave you with is the accurate and complete reporting of community benefit on the tax-exempt entity's annual tax returns. There are many others, but this gives you an idea that there are several ways in which tax and ESG interact in the healthcare context, some of which are quite unique to our industry. Demonstration of good stewardship of tax-exempt status is one of those considerations, I think, paramount in the ESG context within healthcare. You want to show as an organization that you are maximizing your resources available for the achievement of your charitable purpose. And that has to be an overarching principle of your conversation.
Is something like sufficient coverage of healthcare a concept or a topic that is within ESG, or is that just a separate topic for healthcare?
Anytime that you are talking about ESG, I think you have to address certain aspects of the type of care and the amount of care you're providing. This is going to include charity care, actions that you take to address health inequities, the access that you provide to care, and the social determinants of health surrounding the community in which you provide that care. So all of those are really components of that ESG discussion that needs to take place within an organization.
That's a good way to look at that. And our listeners might be curious on the metrics that are used for ESG in healthcare. Now, clearly, they'll be different between, as you said, tax exempts, for-profit, and for the insurance providers. But do you have a sense that these metrics, the standards for measuring performance with the ESG lens, are they settling or still evolving?
I think that in the tax exempt context, one of the standards that people tend to look to repeatedly is the Schedule H of the Form 990, on which you report, or a hospital reports, community benefit. That's an activity and a number that typically gets a lot of scrutiny and a lot of views with respect to outsiders, because that is public information and readily available information that one can analyze and is reported by all tax-exempt hospitals filing a 990. So that's one that tends to be analyzed fairly heavily. In the taxable context, I don't know that we have standardized metrics that are really used across the industry to measure some of these components.
So if I could jump in for a second, when we talk about metrics for ESG, there's really qualitative measures and quantitative measures. And a big part of what we're talking about here is obviously the quantitative measures. But for healthcare organizations, whether it's for-profit or tax-exempt providers or payers, the S in ESG tends to be their primary or largest focus area for ESG as a whole. And when you're talking about the S, you're really looking more at a qualitative story. And I think this is where tax-exempt organizations have a challenge and really an opportunity to go to their tax professionals, because their tax folks are experienced storytellers when it comes to presenting to the public a picture of how this organization has been serving the community. That is what community benefit is. And we can use that skill set of those tax professionals of telling a coherent narrative, embracing the right data in order to support that narrative, and then presenting to the public. That skill set can be used in a much broader context now that organizations are looking at their ESG strategy beyond what's being reported on the Schedule H.
Well, that's really good advice, Monica. It sounds like there's a wealth of knowledge and a skill set in how to tell that story within tax departments of the not-for-profits. Let's turn to another topic you mentioned earlier revolving around physicians. Now, this is an area where we all have personal experience, right? We all go to doctors, we all interact with the healthcare providers, and we're seeing day-to-day changes in the healthcare system and the small practices and that Norman Rockwell type of doctor becoming a thing of the past. But how relevant is all of that to tax and that change in itself? And what do tax professionals and those running companies that provide healthcare need to keep in mind?
Tony, what you're seeing and what other people are seeing in their day-to-day interactions with the healthcare system is a real phenomenon. There is a growing shift away from private, solo, or small group practices. Doctors want to be free from the administrative aspects of running a practice so that they can just focus on patient care. And at the same time, other players in the healthcare industry, hospitals, health insurance companies, retailers, and so on, these other players are recognizing the value of aligning with physicians. In some respects, this is part of the blurring of the lines that we talked about a bit earlier in this call, but it's bigger than that. Private equity, for example, has become a major player in the physician practice space. And telemedicine has also been a force driving new physician practice-based businesses. So there's a lot of M&A activity in this area. And some of the tax issues in these transactions are quite unique to healthcare because of the specialized structures that are needed to align with physicians in jurisdictions that have so-called corporate practice of medicine restrictions, which prohibit the direct ownership of a physician practice in certain jurisdictions, or prohibit the direct employment of a physician in certain jurisdictions by a non-licensed party, a non-licensed corporate entity. So with these specialized structures, the tax issues that can arise can be easily overlooked unless the organization's tax people and their advisors have expertise in healthcare tax, and that those folks are brought into the loop early in the deal cycle.
So there's a lot of change in the industry, but it doesn't sound, Monica, like there's a lot of change to me and you personally, other than the folks we're dealing with.
For patients interacting with their own care providers, the doctors themselves are still providing patient care. And so that face-to-face contact, the intention is to keep the integrity of that constant, or even to improve it, because doctors can focus more on patient care if they're not thinking about running the business anymore.
Being part of a bigger practice and maybe availability and things like that, that could improve the patient care side because you're providing a much more scalable business and sustainable business for the public. Are we seeing that also play itself out?
I think that's fair to say that there's economies of scale, which is part of what has drawn private equity into the space of aggregating physician practices and what we call roll-ups of physician practices and creating these nationwide networks of specialty practices or provider care networks. But there are also qualitative benefits for the doctors and for their patients. They get broader coverage from having a larger practice that they're interacting with. The doctors have access to better technology, which makes them more efficient in their care. And then also the doctors have access to a broader wealth of knowledge and more standardized care practices that do result in better patient care and better outcomes.
And is this something that is a trend here in the U.S. more so than globally? Are we leading or following?
I would say that we are leading, that this is a trend that started here in the U.S., but we are starting to see some activity like this happening in other countries. One of the areas that this trend started with is very specialized practices, such as fertility physician practices or dermatology practices. So that's where this trend started in the U.S., and it has become a broader trend, really all the way down to local community family physicians, primary care doctors. But now that it is moving a bit outside of our own borders, when we see it happening in other countries, it's sort of starting in that same place of specialty practices. So we see networks of fertility practices in the UK that are now starting to enter the US market. They've mimicked our model there, and now they're starting to join forces with similarly focused practices here in the US, which has been an interesting phenomenon for us because traditionally healthcare has been a very domestic industry. We don't normally see a lot of international tax issues come up in healthcare. There are some examples of health insurance companies that have operations in other countries or hospital organizations that partner with a hospital in another country or that own hospitals in other countries, but that has been a very small part of our industry historically. And now with this new part of the healthcare business evolution, this aggregation of physician practices, the international tax issues are starting to come into play in a new way.
Yeah, it sounds like the emergence of multinationals in the healthcare practice area, that's been the evolution for many other industries where ultimately you end up with multinational organizations with operations in multiple countries, right?
Correct.
Something to certainly watch for, because that will, of course, have an impact on the talent and skill sets, capabilities that a company needs in order to manage an international business, including on the tax side, than what you need to manage a purely domestic business.
Correct.
So, Monica and Lori, what is the one thing you would say to healthcare business leaders that they should keep in mind and consider asking their heads of tax?
The conversation between business leaders in healthcare and their tax folks needs to be one that is proactive and ongoing about what changes lie ahead for the organization and its business strategy. Whether it's a change in the business's geographic footprint, a shift towards new and greater risk-bearing arrangements, or new ways of aligning with physicians and other business partners, any of these can have important tax considerations that should be worked through before the change happens so that everyone is working together to identify the potential tax exposures and also the opportunities that can make tax a value driver for the organization. There's a saying in healthcare that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And I really do think that that can be said for tax as well in the current environment in healthcare.
Terrific. I like that. In other words, stay close to your tax folks and bring them into your conversation in terms of the strategy of the business. Lori, any final thoughts from you?
Monica said it well when she said that it's not enough to just pretend that you get to play in one tax silo within the space, that you just get to specialize in tax exempt versus taxable, that you get to specialize in just domestic. I think if we see a theme throughout this conversation, it is that the healthcare convergence has a tax convergence component with it as well, and that tax is something that comes into play in a variety of different contexts, and one can't necessarily just play in a single space. Really, it's those tax advisors that have a broad range of tax expertise that need to come in and assist as the business models in healthcare change.
Well, Monica, Lori, I want to thank you so much for joining me to discuss the tax topics affecting the healthcare practice and the trends that you're both seeing. We'll be sure to keep a close eye on many of these issues that you pointed out and perhaps have you both back to join us at a future time.
You've been listening to the KPMG podcast series on industry tax developments. Thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to speaking to you next time.